Bub Nation.
Let's go. We got Alyssa back.
Welcome back, FDP Alyssa.
How was your vacation?
How was vacay?
It was great. I did not want to come back. I can't lie. Lots of drinks, lots of beach time.
What was the highlight?
We actually went whale watching. It was really cool. And we saw when they like jump up in the air and like breach. Yeah. And it was really cool.
That's sick.
Yep.
Came across a video of watching whales or orcas hunt seals last night.
Wow. That's very, were you just scrolling Twitter and that came across?
Yeah. They're smart as hell, bro.
Oh, yeah.
That was wild.
They don't play.
We are presented by Illegal Pete's, everyone's go-to spot for burritos, buddies, and beers. What is up,
Were you
chat?
Watching the one where they create the wave that knocks the seal off of its iceberg? Yeah. Crazy.
Tight, huh?
It's kind of sad, but it's pretty cool that they know how to do that.
Nature's wild. I also saw a video of a hawk fighting a duck, and the duck was like trying to drown the hawk.
Wow.
But then someone was watching the fight and went in and intervened with nature.
No, you can't do that.
I know.
Can't do that.
They saved the hawk.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Although, like, we applaud the video of the guy who pries his little dog from the jaws of a crocodile.
Right.
Still kind of intervening with nature.
It is, definitely.
So where do we draw the line?
I just don't mess with animals that are bigger than me or, like, have wings. Like,
oh, wings throw you off.
I mean, why do I need to intervene with a hawk and a duck? Like, there's no need for that.
Yeah, I mean, let the hawks and ducks do what they must.
Exactly. And plus, a duck beating a hawk is like an underdog thing.
Right,
I know it's
right.
on the water,
you
but
gotta
still.
Like, I love, you know, a good raptor, if you will. But you gotta pull for the duck in that situation.
Exactly. The underdog. Like, a flightless bird.
The hawk can't be trying to take on...
Or I guess not a flightless bird. But
the hawk can't be trying to go into duck territory. Like,
exactly. That's
why are you going on the road?
Yeah, the hawk's advantage is speed in the air. While the duck can get in the air, it's like, nah, man, you went into the water. You're donezoed.
Yep. Messed up that person intervened.
Crazy. It's the off season, if you couldn't tell.
Oh, really?
All right, today, we mentioned this, I think, last week or the week before, but there are some changes coming to the recruiting calendar. Shiloh declared for the game. We'll talk about Shador's chances of declaring for the game. But we start with another position preview, this time edge rushers, a huge position that got improved greatly, I think, over this offseason.
Yeah, absolutely. And one that you need so much. And it's funny because... I made the point the other day about how having a second lockdown corner, in my opinion, could be transformational for this team and really take them to the next level. And someone, like some angry man, commented on it. It was like, this is the dumbest take I've ever heard. It's all about pass rush.
Yeah.
And I'm like, buddy, how do you think pass rush happens?
This all works in together.
Yes. So... Of course, the pass rush can help the coverage, but the coverage will help the pass rush as well. And I think the one of those things definitely didn't happen last year, which was the pass rush helping the coverage.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cam said it the other day. Like, it's not as much stacking talent as it is plugging holes.
Right.
Coach Prime looked at the roster and said, what do we need? One of the things was pass rusher, and he went and got it.
Mm-hmm. You got a whole entire group of them, basically.
Yep.
Man, I mean, I have Arden Walker first, but we can start with whoever you want with here.
Sorry, go ahead.
Arden Walker. I think the leader of this group is Arden Walker at this point in time.
Love that.
Kind of was, I guess, the baton was passed to him mm-hmm. towards the end of last year by JB or JD and Coach Nick. Obviously, both are out. And, you know, Arden's got that CU kind of lineage with his dad and all that, but he just really seemed to be progressing as a player as he went through, you know, since he got here all the way through the season.
The word I would use for him at the end of last season was consistency. I felt when I looked out there and I saw 53 that I could trust him.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't going to dart inside on an outside run and leave a big gap. Like, just felt like he was playing smart, playing... By the way that he's coached, you know, engage your blocker, watch, shed which way you need to shed. Like, it was just clean, I thought, from him. No one was an impact player, I don't think, at the position last year.
No.
JD definitely had his flashes, and Taj did as well. But it definitely lacked impact players. At times it also lacked consistency. I like the consistency from Arden at the end of last season, and I think he's a good building block in the foundation.
I think he's got to be one of the biggest like breakout candidates, not only in this position, on the entire team. You know, last year played in all 12 games, but only 12 tackles, 1.5 TFLs, 1 sack. Did have that fumble recovery against Nebraska, I believe.
Sounds right.
But, I mean, we had him here a few weeks ago, and the guy's obviously very comfortable now, but I think he's kind of assuming that leadership role himself, too. So I'm excited to see exactly what he does this year, because I think he can be part of why this pass rush has greatly improved.
Yeah, for sure. What's next?
Okunlola, your boy?
Sammy Sachs.
All right.
That's what I'm calling it. I think someone else said that on Twitter, but I'm adopting it. If you are the person who started that, pass it. Take your credit. I don't remember who said it first. To me, the biggest transfer addition, straight up, a proven player who we know gets after the passer, who also is young.
Mm-hmm.
That is the perfect transfer, in my opinion. What did he have? 8?
He had 5.
Okay, 5. So I gave him a little too much credit. But 5 sacks as a true freshman is nothing to scoff at. Or as a freshman, I should say. They needed this position deeply. And to me, he's the number one player they got at the position. I know you have a potentially different take on it.
Mm-hmm.
But a chance to really, really make his mark and become a big-time name for this team. I'm really hyped about Samuel Okunlola.
6'4", 245, is a redshirt sophomore. He showed great ability to get to the quarterback in a limited role, not even as a starter. Now he's going to kind of get that elevation to the starting lineup. We'll get to all these guys, of course, but Quincy Wiggins, BJ Green all coming in, like, these guys could start it almost anywhere else in the country, I feel like, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe I did come up with that. I don't know. If someone else had it, please claim. I think someone just called him Sammy, and then I started thinking Sammy Sachs.
Sammy Sachs. But, yeah, I think a lot of people are kind of in on Samuel Okunlola as, like, the breakout player in this edge rotation.
Yeah, and I don't even know if breakout is the right word for him. Just like continues on his path.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he were to make like 8, you know, 8 plus sacks,
yeah,
that would be huge.
Right. Next guy, I guess my guy, Quincy Wiggins, man, coming from LSU with the top rated recruit out of Louisiana in the 2022 class. Didn't really do anything last year, though. Didn't see the field. Didn't, I think, chart any stats or anything either with that, obviously. But you look at the size, 6'6", 265, dude.
Yeah. No, he looks like one of those guys,
mm-hmm.
for sure. He looks the part of a legitimate edge rusher. Obviously a highly rated recruit. Help us out here, Alyssa. A highly rated recruit at LSU.
Yeah.
And just one, you know, one of the ones that it's like, if it all comes together for him, he's going to be nasty.
So it was 4 games last year. He preserves that red shirt. Only had 1 TFL. Only had 2 total tackles. But, and I don't want to put too much into this, but you watch the battles with him and Jordan Seaton on Well Off, and it's like, that's iron sharpening iron right
Hell
there.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. If it sounded like we were just distracted a little bit, it's because we were.
Sorry, he was wondering when the abs and nuggets go on later.
Oh, yeah. It's all good. I was just like talking really loud.
I know.
All right, what do we got next?
BJ Green. Another guy stolen from a conference rival. Was there basically ASU's best defender last year. And another bigger edge, too. Maybe a little short, 6'260", compared to some of the other guys on this roster, but easily the most productive incoming transfer at this position. Played in all 12 games, 39 total tackles, 11.5 TFLs, and 6 sacks last year with a forced fumble. And the story is fantastic, too. Walked on to ASU, just kept on building and building and building into what was eventually their best defensive player.
I think that if Coach Prime could have like 70% of his roster made up of this type of player, he would. You know, he often says he doesn't care about stars, but also this, in a lot of cases, the stars follow the talent. But if you were able to find guys who used to be walk-ons who turned into dogs and comprise your roster of that, like if you made like an all-star, a walk-on all-star team around the country, they would be a great team.
Yeah.
And they just have a different mindset. It, you know, it reminds me a lot of the undrafted guys in the NFL. And the Broncos have a great history, and there's just like a different, something different inside of them where you had to earn every single rep you ever got. And so once you get there and you start producing, you don't lose that. You don't all of a sudden start thinking you're owed something because you know that there is a five-star on the roster or a four-star on the roster who is, you know, maybe has more God-given gifts than you do. So you just come, you come with a different mentality every day, knowing that you had to start from the bottom. And I think BJ Green is going to be a fan favorite because of that type of attitude.
He's also got history with Coach Prime. He played on his team when he was 6 years old. Of course, the whole Washington Jed Fish saga, he was right in the middle of it, and that's how he ended up at CU. But this is up there. I mean, if we had to rank the best transfers we got this offseason, he's at least top three, maybe top five at worst.
I would say top five for sure.
So that's kind of the big four right there. Arden Walker, Samuel Okunlola, Quincy Wiggins, BJ Green. But we still have some new guys. Spider-Man. N'Keal Webb-Walker.
Yeah. Another guy who certainly brings the size. What is he listed at?
He is listed at... Sorry.
No, you're good. But... I would call this like a
6'6", 275.
I was gonna say a bet on measurables. Not that he hasn't produced, because he has a bit at the lower levels, but you see that, you see 6'6", 275, and you say, okay, well, what's gonna happen when he gets with Coach Mo?
Yep.
What kind of beast can we turn him into? We talk about, you know, first off the bus types of guys. He might not be first. But he's probably in the first five.
Definitely.
And it's a figure of speech. It doesn't actually matter who's coming off the bus
right.
first for you. But last year's team, while the size questions about them, I think, were way overstated, they also didn't necessarily have a walking off the bus all-star team.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Like, there weren't those guys that just made you go, oh, my God, when you see them. And I think they were able to stock up a bit more on those guys this offseason. And again, if it clicks for him, and, you know, let's say Coach Mo helps him hone in that 275 more, maybe he becomes 285, maybe he goes down to 265, whatever they're aiming for, depending on where they want to line him up, that's a guy that you certainly want to take a chance on.
And if I remember correctly, I think this is a player that's really just started playing football. He didn't start until he was in high school. Played basketball before that. But he's from Nigeria. I mean, he had to move into the country, basically, and learn all this
stuff.
He's
from Jamaica.
Or Jamaica, sorry.
Yeah.
Jamaica. But he did some things still at NMSU last year. Like, he was able to get into the backfield. 5.5 TFLs, 3 sacks, had 24 total tackles. And I think he only started like 3 or 4 games in that time, too.
And again, when is it going to hit? When is he going to pop? Mm-hmm. You know, especially for a guy who started his football career later than most, at any moment for him, it could all of a sudden just click and he becomes a game changer.
Right. Next, Keaton Wade. Of course, the twin of Destin Wade. He was a 4-star recruit. Both of them played when they were at Kentucky, but Keaton Wade, I think, showed a little bit more than Destin, obviously. I mean, they had Will Levis and guys at Kentucky playing quarterback.
They had that other guy, right, who's now...
Devin Leary.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came from NC State. Last year, Keaton Wade played in all 12 games, 3 TFLs, 1 sack, had 35 total tackles, though, so he was on the field quite a bit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, another one that you just add to this group and say, here's an opportunity. You know, what are you going to do with it? But I never want to discount guys who are on the field in the SEC.
Yes.
Because it just, it's just a different game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that maybe that's over credit to the SEC, but the, on a game in, game out basis, the level of tackle that you're going up against as an edge in the SEC
is first round caliber.
Is exactly, or at least going to average out to, you know, being in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
which it can't be said of everyone. Certainly couldn't be said of the Pac-12 this last year. So if you had, you know, median success against those guys, what's going to happen when you go up against Big 12 tackles who are not going to be as good?
An interesting note with him, he's been able to make an impact blocking kicks. I think he's blocked at least two or three in his career. So listed at 6'4", 245.
Remember this moment.
Yes.
Remember this moment when you said this.
Okay.
Because I have a feeling that at some point in a post-game show, we're going to be like, remember on March 6th, yeah. you said he blocks kicks and they won the game because he blocked the kick.
Clip it.
Clip it and save it.
All right. We'll kind of take a break there. There's a few more guys we're going to talk about. Mostly the depth of this roster when it comes to the edge room. But first, it's time to chill with our friends over at Coors Light. I've got a question for you. How many Coors Lights do you think are crushed every weekend in Boulder, Colorado?
Oh, my God. It's a really good question. How many are in a keg? 60-something?
How big is a keg?
just do how many beers in a keg.
15.5 gallons.
Okay, that doesn't help me at all. That's why I told you to type it in the other way.
How many beers in a keg?
Yep. 165. Okay, 165 beers in a keg.
That's...
I think we're...
5.5 30 packs.
I think we're north of 5,000 Coors Lights going down in Boulder each weekend.
Still going to take the over, I think.
Yeah.
But shout out to Coors Light. When it's time to chill, you know which beer to grab.
I wasn't even thinking about the bars.
Yeah, I'm in the city.
Yeah, we're going over 10,000 per weekend.
And then how much does it get kicked up on a game day in Boulder?
Oh, exponentially.
5X? 10X?
I think we could do 100,000. 100,000 cores.
That's wild.
In a weekend on a game day.
Well, we know Boulder knows how to party, and I'm sure they're doing it with Coors Light. When it's time to chill, Coors Light's the beer I reach for. So when you want to hit reset, grab the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/DNVR. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
You're going to have to get the next one, too.
The next one is our friends over at American Financing. You like saving money, don't you?
Love it.
Everyone likes
it. Not as much as Henry, but I still like it a lot.
What was he talking about, American Financing upstairs?
Henry just knows every deal. He'll just be like, oh, like I'll be like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm heading over to 7-Eleven. From 4 to 7 on Thursdays, they do dollar coffees. Like he'll just throw out random shit like that.
That's true. I will say an unnamed big fast food chain. He and I have had very many conversations about their app and how much money we save with that app.
Exactly.
But if you're looking to save money and you have a home, you can tap into your home's equity and wipe out high interest credit card debt at the same time with our friends at American Financing. Their customers save an average of $854 a month. They're based out of Colorado, but they're licensed in all 50 states. So wherever you're living, hit them up, and they can help you save. Call them today. You may close in as fast as 10 days and be able to delay two mortgage payments with American Financing. Hit them up at 303-695-7000. Again, that's 303-695-7000. Or go to AmericanFinancing.net/DMVR, NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
I'm going to give a free ad here.
Okay.
Because I need you to understand my pain. So.
Okay.
I'm of the belief that the best fast food is Taco Bell.
I can't agree with that statement.
I'm not expecting you to.
Okay.
I'm also of the belief that one of the great culinary innovations of our time is the quesarito.
We've been robbed of it, though.
Well, you can only order it through the app.
Yeah, it's garbage.
That was like their way of getting you to download the app.
Mm-hmm.
So me, being the sheep that I am, said, fine, I'll download your app because every time alcohol touches my lips, I crave your food. Which I stave off the cravings like 49 out of every 50 times.
Uh-huh.
But one of those times, I'm going to want that fucking quesarito. But the app doesn't work for me. So there's like some glitch. So I try to order it. I press it. It says like cannot complete order.
Mm-hmm.
So then I go to the place. I'm like, I tried to download your app. Just let me order a quesarito, please. And they just won't do it. They won't do it. So I am incapable of getting a quesarito.
That's criminal.
It is.
It's criminal what they did to us to begin with by putting it on the
app. I know. I know. But I tried to be a good soldier and play along, and it still doesn't work.
That, yeah, I mean, they already weren't at the top for me, but that knocks them down at least another two pegs.
I know. They just got to get this figured out for me. I mean, I got my birthday coming up on Saturday. At least they could do is just give me a quesarito.
I just looked on the unnamed app. I've got a lot of points.
That's crazy.
All right. Yeah, we're talking football here. Edrum.
Talking football here.
Let's go to Jeremiah Brown, and I almost didn't include him here because I don't really know if he's playing edge or if we're moving him back to off ball or what's exactly going on with him.
Yeah, that's a good question for us to ask Neely next time he's on. Mm-hmm. I'm a big Jeremiah Brown fan. I think he might have been underutilized last year. Dude, I don't know, he just brings it when he plays. If I was a coach... you know, I'm putting myself in like a position coach's shoes here that has more of a control over who's playing. It would drive me insane knowing that you have certain guys who are more talented than other guys who just don't bring it as much.
Yeah.
And I thought Jeremiah Brown could have been a good guy to put out there and just be like, look, like this is what motor looks like. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I always liked him better at edge. Then they moved him to off ball. I was like, all right, let's see what we got here. Didn't really get a chance to see much of it. I'd like to put him back at edge. When I watched Jeremiah Brown at JSU, the first thing that stood out to me was his first step. I thought he had a really good first step.
Yeah.
So I hope he goes back to the edge and gets a chance to make some plays there.
I mean, we've known this ever since he committed here. He's just a pure athlete. And... you know, sometimes that's a great thing, especially in football, because it allows you to just have more ability than other guys to make plays. But sometimes you end up like JB, where their coaches are like not really sure what to do with you. And at that point, you're kind of, I don't want to say losing ground, but just not having a solid position and changing all the time just kind of messes with your development.
Yeah.
I hope that's not what we're going through here with JB, but I was also surprised we didn't see him on the field more last year. On the roster, he's listed out outside linebacker. So,
okay.
I don't know.
All right.
Next guy, Kyrie Manns. Kyrie Manns made some plays last year.
He did. And he's a guy that, like, players will tell you, like, don't sleep on him.
Mm-hmm.
And while if we don't mention a person's name for 5 minutes, someone in the chat will tell us not to sleep on them. When the players tell me not to sleep on someone, my ears perk up a little bit more.
Yep.
Players aren't always the best evaluators of talent, but they do just notice when guys make plays. And so when I hear someone say, hey, don't sleep on Kyrie Manns, that tells me, okay, he makes plays when he's out there on the field in practice.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just a guy that I think really meshes well with the coach. Like, I think the coaching staff really likes him. He just brings a great attitude and a great kind of energy to the field every day. So it almost feels a little bit criminal to me that we're this late in the edge conversation before we mentioned Kyrie Manns.
I mean, that's just how much deeper this room gotten, though.
I know.
But he kind of came in, I think, a little undersized last year. It was around 225. He's bulked up a bit. It's going to be a big spring for him. Big spring for a lot of guys, obviously. But he was in the rotation last year, so he's going to have some sort of an inside track, I think, this spring at least, for sure.
Yep. And he's got speed, which is obviously a valuable asset to have in that room.
Well, he was always one of those guys where it's like, wasn't like he wouldn't get a sack or something, but it's like someone had a chase down, and it's like, who is that? And it's Kyrie Manns.
Yep, totally. D.V. Harris.
Yeah. Not on the roster.
Ah! Damn it. Well, maybe news, maybe not. You sure you spelled it right?
I'm positive, bro. I'm trying here.
Okay. We'll keep an eye on that.
But I guess we just go with Tajay McCoy then?
Yeah, we'll skip for now.
Tajay McCoy.
We'll circle back if we have to at a later
yes. date. Tajay McCoy, Coach Nick was hard on him last year.
Yeah.
It kind of was one of the, I don't want to say memes of the team, but, you know, you'd always hear about Coach Nick yelling, Tajay!
Mm-hmm.
But we watched his film a bit over a year ago, and we saw the growth from his junior season in high school to that senior year when he kind of, you know, bulked up a little, or slimmed down, I guess, a little bit, moved from the interior to the edge, and JD shouted him out. A lot of people have mentioned Tajay McCoy. And like you said, if everyone in the program keeps mentioning him, we're going to see something at some point from Tajay McCoy.
He's got the look, man. He's got the build and kind of just the, you're going to hit me with a pause here, but like the shape of an edge rusher, you know? And I think he got on the field early.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe against Nebraska. He got a couple plays in
that
there.
That sounds right, yeah.
And so, you know, I think they saw something in him early that they thought maybe he was ready to get out there on the field. Obviously, it didn't sustain. But if I had to pick my sleeper of the group, are we doing that?
Yeah, he's the last guy. So, yeah, go ahead.
I would pick Tajay McCoy. Now... it's hard to know where to draw the line on sleeper because I would also pick Kyrie Manns.
Mm-hmm.
But Tajay McCoy is high on my list of guys that I think everyone could hear his name in like fall camp and be like, oh yeah, I remember him from the freshman class last year, right?
Right.
Like, kind of forgot about him, and then all of a sudden it's like, watch out for Tajay McCoy.
Yep. I mean, he's got to be up there. I'd probably pick N'Keal Webb-Walker, honestly, as my sleeper in this group. Just has that little bit of experience, has tremendous size at 6'6", 275.
Ooh.
So
when you say it, it just sounds like an NFL player.
Yeah, definitely. But Tajay McCoy, I mean, we've just heard so much over the last 14 months or so that it feels like this could be the spring where, you know, he finally makes some noise and hopefully we see him out there practice or the spring game doing some of that stuff.
Yep.
Who leads this team in sacks in 2024?
Sammy Sacks.
Sammy Sacks.
Is that who you're going with?
I think I'm going to go with Arden.
Ooh, I love that. I love that.
I just liked what I saw from him in terms of progression and growth as a player last year.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Coach Dancy's the guy now, but Coach Nick Williams is a very like highly respected coach. And he singled him out quite often. That stood out to me, at least.
All right. Love it.
Do you want to do tackles, I guess? Who's just overall the most all over the field chasing guys down?
See, that I would... ooh, I'll probably give that to BJ Green.
That's what I was going to say.
Yep.
Great
point from Boom Shakalaka. If you're reading this, go on and like the video. Our likes have been down recently. Is it something we did?
Is it? What'd you say, man?
I don't know. I've said a lot of dumb shit before.
Yeah, hit the like button. Also subscribe to the channel. All right, moving forward. Yesterday, you know, you told me last week, do we have any NCAA player announcements? You know, where are these announcements coming from? I'm getting a little worried.
I was.
Yesterday, Shiloh Sanders said he's in the game.
Huge.
Headache Gang CEO.
Huge. Hit power?
99. Has to be.
Has I was going to say at least 90 plus.
It has to. Come on. Who'd you see lay a harder hit in a Colorado game, either on the team or the other team last year?
Did any of... I don't think any of our guys got rocked like that. Even Blackburn's bullshit didn't even, like... It wasn't... It didn't have that feel to it. It obviously, you could tell it was impactful, but it didn't have that, like, de-cleat, right. know, feet above your head look to it.
Actually, Bishop had a pretty big hit on that return against ASU.
And when he was in the Rick Ross package against TCU.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm so excited for to play with Shiloh. I don't know if they're going to have abilities, but one of the abilities they have in Madden is called Avalanche. And it's like if you hit someone with a hit stick while you're coming downhill, it increases their chance of fumbling. It would be perfect for Shiloh.
That is an ability that's just built around how he plays football, basically.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's news. But it kind of got me thinking, Shiloh's in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Shador?
Well, there's certainly some theories, but the most important part of this to me, because as I've said before, Shador being in the game is the single most, the only, I can't say that. Certainly the highest person I care, the person I care about being in the game the most. But on Shiloh's post announcing that he was in the game,
mm-hmm.
Shador commented, fire and emoji. Said. If Shador was in, like, a dispute with NCAA that he wasn't going to be in the game, I don't think he would have done that. Am I crazy?
Well, I think, you know, when we talked about last week, when he put out the tweet and deleted it, that was what sent the antenna up for me. Like, there's something more here.
Yeah. I mean, he should be the cover athlete. And I'm so tired of hearing people say it should be Nick Saban.
Yeah, no.
I get it. Like, yes, he's legendary and he's awesome, but like maybe you do like a special edition cover or something for him. I've said it once, I'll say it a million times. This is the first time in history that the cover athlete on NCAA football can profit from it and it can be an active player. So why would we pass on that?
Mm-hmm.
And just because like Nick Saban won a bunch of games, we're going to pass on this cool thing that we never used to get to do.
Right.
I think I always thought it was dumb. That, like, it was a player who was already in the NFL on this year's NCAA football. You can put an active player in there for the first time ever, help these young men make some money. And so I'm fully in on it being an active player, and I'm fully in on it being Shador. But also, I was thinking about this. Not every player is posting the I'm in the game thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was a smart move by NCAA football, EA Sports.
Oh, it's free pub.
They had to give, well, no, they had to give everybody the same amount to be in the game, right?
Right.
But they can work some side NIL deals for an Instagram social post. Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
So, like, I'm sure Shiloh negotiated a little bit and was able to, you know, cash in a little more than some, like, third string quarterback at Rice by saying, hey, I'll post to my whatever hundreds of thousands of Instagram followers for some extra money.
Smart. Definitely. Michael Welsh, of all the people on this team, posted one of those that kind of went off, the I'm in the game thing.
Really?
Did you see that?
No, yeah. I didn't.
So, Kirk Herbstreit, we saw the video of Chris Fowler talking about all the work that he's done. And, of course, Kirk is his guy. That's his partner in the booth. And he mentioned, you know, we've worked together a lot. So, this came out yesterday. Kirk Herbstreit, I guess his sons have a podcast called Street Talk. Kirk hopped on. Do you want to comment on that?
Nope. Wow. Okay.
Streit. Yeah,
of course. Of course.
It
should have been called The Streets Are Talking, but.
You should name our podcast, too. Me, Marissa, and Alyssa are going to start a podcast.
Oh, God. Sounds terrible. Also could have been Ear to the Street. Anyways, they
we'll
probably
it.
Shouldn't have done anything with Street. But
Kirk Herbstreit was asked about it, said he has no idea. Said if he was going into last season, he thought Caleb would have been the choice. And then he says, I think Shador Sanders is a massive name and a big following, but he doesn't know if he's on the cover. He said, I don't know that.
Absolutely should be the cover athlete. It makes perfect sense. He's going to be the best quarterback. I've got him winning the Heisman. I don't know what we're doing here.
He's the face of college football.
Yeah. Love him or hate him, you're watching.
Yeah. And even so, on three, they put out that tweet of the kind of mock cover with Shador on there, and it went crazy.
Yes.
From obviously, you know, Buff Nation and all that, but the people are so angry seeing Shador on the cover.
I know. I love it. One of my favorite things about this team is how angry they make people.
It's hilarious, isn't it?
Yeah, it brings me a lot of joy.
It's kind of a... We know the routine now. You can, like, tell...
Oh, yeah.
Like...
I don't even have to open, like, the post to know what the comments are.
Yeah.
What's crazy is... I don't know. I guess all these people want to be in that category. But when you see, like, the type of person who's hating... If you're a normal person, you can't, like you have to look and be like, do I want to be on their side? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, yep. I don't know. That's what's crazy to me is, like, it feels like a very clear line that you wouldn't want to be on the other side of.
It's also clear how many people out there just don't know ball and they have no idea what they're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Because they call Shador a scrub, you know, day three draft pick. It's like, your eyes literally are just not working.
Yeah, someone commented on my thing about him using the tablets to his advantage, and we're like, he would be too busy taking selfies with the tablet to use it for football. I'm like, you literally have no idea that this guy might have the highest football IQ in college football.
Yep. So there you go. We'll see what happens. I think they said late May, early June-ish. I think that's when the cover comes out.
Okay. They have to... I mean, I guess now that it's all digital, maybe there's not that much that goes into this. Do they still sell hard copy games?
Yeah. I was thinking about this, too. I was like, well, it's not even a cover. It's the tile on my console, basically, that you, like, click on.
That's the cover.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they do still sell the hard copies.
Yeah. Definitely.
I think if he gets the cover, I'm going to buy a hard copy and never open it. Just use it as, like, display.
I said that 10 years ago when Denard Robinson was on the cover, and if only I did it, because that thing was, it became worth some money.
That was worth some money. Yep. Yeah, I would frame that, because it's literally my favorite video game ever, a Buff being on there. Yeah, I'm in.
Stay tuned. Shout out to our friends over at Empire Today, the best place to get new flooring. It's crazy. We've just got you completely covered here at DMVR. Tap into your home's equity. You can get new floors, a new roof. Got your beer. Got your streaming partner.
Crazy. And we're sitting on a brand new Empire
amazing.
Floor as we speak.
I was going to say, this is the first time I saw it. It looks amazing.
Yeah, it does. The other one, I think, was self-installed.
There was an issue.
It was falling apart. Yeah. Someone was going to get hurt very soon. So shout out to Empire for coming through, bringing the professionals in here. And giving us some high quality floor, which I'm told is also scratch resistant.
Ooh!
Because the other one was also just scratched to pee. It looked like we had like an untamed dog that was running around here.
Yeah, caged Mike the Tiger.
Yeah. It's just like the whole floor is ripped to shreds. So I'm excited to see how this beautiful Empire floor holds up.
Empire of the Goats, though, their philosophy is to help you find what you need, not overwhelm you with thousands of choices. Flooring is all they do. They're not going to try and upsell you on other things for your house. It's all about getting what you want, exactly what you want and need for your new floor at home or business. Schedule today for a free in-home estimate. And all listeners of the DNVR Bus Podcast can receive a $350 off discount when you use the promo code DNVR. Restrictions apply. See empiretoday.com/DNVR for details.
Such a great deal. Shout out Empire Today. And also shout out to Illegal Pete's, our guy, Ryan Green. Everyone who listens to this show knows his work, because he's the one who puts out the awesome cinematic vlogs after all of our games. He walked in today and just like unraveled a masterpiece of an Illegal Pete's burrito. And I was so jealous.
Yeah.
so jealous. And I'm also on keto right now, so I was extra jealous because I can't have the rice or the tortillas. But man, Illegal Pete's, they do even have a great keto option. I usually get the salad there. They have this, like, I don't even know, it's like a red pepper vinaigrette that goes on the salad. It's delicious. Mm-hmm. So whether you're looking for burritos, bowls, you want fish tacos, whatever you're interested in, Illegal Pete's has you covered, and they do it better than anyone else in their category. So hit up our friends over at Illegal Pete's, your go-to spot for burritos, buddies, and beers.
Also the goats. Have you been reading the comments? Did you see the news?
I actually got this news yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Excellent.
Well, technically you got it a long time before that.
But. Yes. I got two things. I texted you one of them. I forgot to text you the other one.
Oh, well.
Sorry.
We already kind of knew this was coming.
Yes, yes, we did.
Jack Bailey has entered the transfer portal, a move that you probably could have seen coming once it was announced Coach OB was going to be the offensive line coach in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
He started all 12 games for the Buffs. He followed Sean Lewis and Coach OB over from Kent State. I'm going to always remember Jack Bailey because of the Dylan touchdown on the screen pass against TCU. He made that block out in front and really kind of sprung Dylan to the house. And I know it wasn't, you know, the interior offensive line was kind of the weak points of this team, really. But credit to Jack Bailey. He's kind of immortalized with that win over TCU.
I like that. I like you going positive with it. One of the things that he brought to the table that it was just said straight up by Coach OB was, like, he has an edge.
Mm-hmm.
And we need more guys like that. And the reason I bring that up now is because I think Coach OB, if he looked at the offensive line now, would be like, damn, I wish I had those guys when I was there.
Yep.
Because there's just a totally different attitude from the linemen now than there were it was last year. And, you know, you mentioned it, like, you want guys on your offensive line that just you do not want to mess with.
Well, Neely says he wants them to scare him, basically.
Yes, yes. And, you know, Cam mentioned Khalil Benson as, like, a guy who's just, like, earmuffs for the kids not to be fucked with. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how else to say that. But it's just you need that edge. And he did bring some of that, but it just didn't work out for him.
Best of luck to him. We'll see where he ends up. Maybe, where did OB go? Did he go to San Diego State too? I think so.
I thought he went to the Midwest. Could be wrong.
Either way, we'll see. Last thing I've got, we talked about this too, changes to the college football calendar, more specifically signing day periods, and the recruiting calendar, because December this year was absolute chaos. Bowl season was in full swing. The portal was open. And then, oh, yeah, we're going to throw early signing day into the mix, too. We don't have to deal with that anymore. Yeah. Early signing day is now going to come.
He went to Northwestern.
Northwestern. Early signing day is now going to come the week before the portal opens. So the portal is scheduled to open at the end of the 2024 season, December 9th. The early signing period will be December 4th through December 6th. So we'll be a little more spread out and organized this offseason instead of just chaos constantly.
Yeah, I mean, we'll be busy prepping for the college football playoff during this time, but it'll be a nice little change of pace.
Coming fresh off a Big 12 title.
Exactly. Celebrating, you know, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I didn't know that this was official. I probably actually did, but I had forgotten it was official. Big 12 Media Day is in Vegas.
Yeah.
So there's another. Add another one.
Yeah, you didn't know. You didn't remember that one?
I thought it was discussed. I didn't remember it became official.
Oh, no. Yeah. The Pac-12 died, and they basically just stole it right from them.
Vegas is ready, up for the taking.
We don't even have a team, like, near there.
We're going to
Vegas.
It's Utah? Arizona State probably is the closest.
I mean, from Salt Lake to Las Vegas is only like 5 or 6 hours.
I think it's 4 from Tempe. Is it? Yeah, or okay. Phoenix. Just from what the PHNX people have told us when they drive up there for whatever we're there for.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot. Anyways, that's just is the title game still in Dallas?
I think so.
Okay.
It is. Oh gosh. I don't know.
Anyways, I love Circa, but when all is said and done, I will have gone to Vegas more times in this calendar year than the entire rest of my life combined.
AT&T Stadium, Arlington, Texas.
Okay. So yeah, there's well, at least so we have Pac-12 tournament. Mm-hmm. I'm going back for the NCAA tournament,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll be there in the summer for media day.
Yeah,
and then we'll see if I'm doing summer league again.
Well, and then the Broncos are going to play there.
Yep. Well, now we're into a new year,
new football year. But yes. Yeah. Still, Vegas, man. What a come up the last, I don't know, 5-ish years or so.
Circa partnership is really paying dividends for us.
No doubt. When do we open the Circa DMVR bar?
Dang. I don't know.
All credit to me for that idea, by the way.
Well, there's another idea that's already up in the air, but it's not a bar.
Okay. Okay. But yeah, that's it. The June signing period that was mentioned, you know, the early one.
Yeah.
Did not get voted on. They postponed that vote. So okay. They only moved the early signing day in December period just a little bit earlier.
Circa should expand to Colorado and then build DNVR Casino in Blackhawk.
That'd be incredible. Now we're talking.
Just give me all of the, we got a bar, we've got a casino. Might as well start making our own zins at that point.
Now we're talking. All right. I think we're good. Let me double check. Are we good?
Good on what?
Ads.
Oh.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right. What's up, chat? Ivan says, who is the biggest sleeper on the D-line/edge as of right now?
I picked Tajay McCoy.
Tajay McCoy. I threw in N'Keal Webb-Walker. Going to the D-line. Off the top of my head, I mean, again, Torreon Carter. He was one of the first guys we talked about when we did the transfers who aren't being talked about enough.
Yep.
This guy's coming in as a big 300-plus pound nose tackle as a grad transfer. Like, I think he's going to play quite a bit.
Hell yeah.
You want this one today?
Super sticker, $10 from Big Teasy the Legend. Hippo character throwing a blazing uppercut into the air while the word KO appears in the background.
I hope this just stays. I don't want to see them. No. I want to keep the mental image of what I make of the super stickers.
I got like a very Kung Fu Panda right. vision in my head on that one.
Right. Definitely. Out of my mind, what team are you using besides the Buffs? I mean, Michigan?
None.
Okay. I'll use Michigan. I always like taking, I don't care what team it is, the lowest rated overall team. And picking them for my dynasty team.
Wow.
Complete rebuild.
What a grinder you are, dude. You're just built for the challenge.
So in NCAA 2014, it was Texas State and Georgia State because they were new teams in those games.
Okay. So
UMass was a new team then too.
Buffs almost lost to UMass 1 year. That was scary. That's when they had that sick wide receiver though, who went to the Titans.
Who?
UMass.
UMass.
I forget his name, but
not.
He ended up just being okay in the NFL.
You're not talking about Andy Isabella, right?
No. This was many moons before Andy Isabella. I'm trying to think if there's any other team I would legitimately use. Now, when we do our giant league, I don't know if I'm going to be able to demand that I get the buffs. I'm certainly going to try.
You should.
But if I don't get the buffs, I would just go based off of who has cool uniforms and or color schemes. So, like, I could see myself using, like, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be kind of cool. Or, like, great stadiums.
Yeah, stadiums would be top of the list for me.
Trying to think of a great stadium from a team that I don't hate.
See, so FSU used to be one of my teams when I played, mostly because I just thought they had sick players, but I loved the war chant. And then after that game came out, the Chiefs like started to adapt the war chant.
Yeah.
And now I'm way out.
Yeah, and kind of canceled.
It is kind of canceled, definitely.
Man, great stadium, team that I like, good uniforms.
I'd throw out, you know, so Florida, like, Penn State.
Penn State.
Tennessee. I could
kind of get behind. Tennessee was my first thought. But we kind of had like a little rivalry with Tennessee this offseason.
Yeah. We had a rivalry with lots of schools.
Yeah.
Oregon used
Tajay
to be one of mine.
Sharp. That was his
Tajay
name.
Tajay Sharp. Wow, yeah. What a blast.
Yeah, he tore us up. And they had some tight end too who was kind of good. But we did win. We played at Foxborough against UMass. It's just some bad scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Who are you picking?
I'm leaning Tennessee right now.
Okay.
I also have a thing that I always try and chase. I want a team that has a black uniform.
Yeah.
Like in the arsenal.
Yeah.
So like right now in Madden, I'm the 49ers. They have the all blacks. They're sick.
Yeah.
You have to deal with the red, but you do get black and gold in the uniform.
I always did the same thing too. That's why I liked kind of playing with the Cardinals or the Eagles. Let's go with the blacks.
Could be kind of fun to do like Vanderbilt.
Like a rebuilding.
Yeah.
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 I mean, yeah, I'll take Michigan. Bradley, does anyone know the date the game is coming out or even an estimate? So it used to come out in July, mid-July.
Yep.
I'd assume that's the schedule we're on again.
Yeah.
But we haven't got official word yet.
Chase says, what's the other piece of news? If I wanted to tell you, I would have told you. It's just that simple.
And then super chat from Heaven's Demon. Anyone know what's going on with Cormani? Hasn't been any videos.
I shouldn't say if I wanted to. I should say if I could.
Right.
If I could tell you, I would.
What's going on with I don't know what's going on with Cormani, guys.
I was going to tweet this. Maybe I still will. Holy shit. Buffs are up 62-23. Wow. Women's tournament.
Over Oregon, too, by the way. Yep. Let them hear it.
Yes. Smack them around a bit. I was going to tweet this at Bucky. Like, he should do, like, an end screen on his videos that's, like, not pictured in this video, but still on the team. Yes. And just, like, lists off everyone.
Look, man, again, this is the only school in the country that has this access. So just because you don't see someone doesn't mean anything's going on in particular. There's just a lot of people, a lot going on. And all these other schools have no idea of any of this. So
yeah, for sure. I mean, it is tough, though, because it's like all it takes is one person to be right one time. It's like, oh, I don't see DV Harris. And everyone's like, it's fine. And then he's off the roster. And they're like, see?
Well, it's happened to us before.
That's what I mean. So then it's like, okay, well, now that's been like validated, trying to take role in the background of well-off videos. But I would just save your energy. And the news will come out when it does, if there's news on anything.
Well, just especially when we're not officially practicing. Like, yeah, they have like mandatory work and stuff. But like, practices don't start until next 2 weeks from now.
Yep.
Even till then, like, we're not going to have guys showing up until the summer. Like,
and like, I always appreciate your guys' questions, so don't take this as a negative. But if there was something going on with Cormani and we knew and we were able to share, we would lead the show with it.
Right.
Like, right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so asking the question is just not going to go anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, it's if any player was off the team and we knew and we could share, that would be our headline.
Yep.
So you just got to be patient on certain things. And again, certain things is just nothing.
Yeah.
This could be either one. I don't know.
Janessa is asking, might have to change. Oh, yeah, I watched this right before we went live. I saw a clip on Twitter. We might have to change the fastest players on the team list. Team had a race today in Bucky's video, and Hopkins gave Dylan a run for his money, and LaJonte Western might be fastest wide receiver. I told you that when we were going live, LaJonte.
If LaJonte Western is faster than Jimmy Horn, the country is in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'll be honest, when I watch his film, he's always open, but he doesn't look faster than Jimmy,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
Well, again, Jimmy's just got that glide.
I know. And it's just like when he goes, it's just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But if he's actually faster than Jimmy, watch out.
Hopkins giving Dylan a run for, so
Adam Hopkins.
I guess they all raced the position groups together. The clip I saw was pick your fastest and slowest guy. I thought they were racing each other, but it was one of those stupid CFB accounts. What?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
The tweet I saw that had the video. I mean, you weren't paying attention to me when I was trying to talk to you about it before the show anyway. So.
Okay, yeah. Well, I was probably trying to get my tweet ready or something. Or I was thinking about all the cities.
Yeah. Do you want to explain that at all?
Before the show, we were upstairs, and Henry unveiled that he found this website where you just type in the names of cities, and every time you type it in, it adds it to a list, and you get all of the population goes into your points, or your, like, total. And the goal is to just try and get as high as you can. When I came down here, we were at 92 million. There's like 330 million people in the United States. It's only United States. Mm. We're just trying to name every city.
You ever played GeoGuessr?
Good brain exercise. Yeah, I don't understand how people are good at that.
It's crazy. They literally learn like the dirt.
Adam was pretty good.
Really?
Yeah. And it kind of like just made me so confused. Like, they're like, oh, that road sign, it's got to be Eastern Europe. It's like, what?
Yeah.
How would you know that?
Yeah. They look at the sun and they're like, all right, we're facing this direction. Like,
it's unbelievable. I've seen, like, TikToks of people who are, like, getting it within, like, 100 yards every time. I'm like, this is insane.
GeoWizard on YouTube. That's the guy.
He's the goat.
He's a machine.
I've been watching this. We need to start doing more, like, challenge videos like this. Like they were just doing like name a player and you have to say what college they're from. Like that's where my wheelhouse is on stuff like this.
Yeah, that's where I put all my brain storage as well.
Exactly.
I saw Heaven's Demon comment again. You're good, man. We weren't singling you out.
Did you watch I didn't end up seeing it. Did you watch the well off at the frat party?
No, I did not actually. How so, was it?
I didn't see it. Someone, Jermaine said we should be talking about how lit the frat parties are at CU. That well off vid was fire.
Well, I mean, if you ever see Barstool Colorado's Instagram posts, and if you ever go to CU just to walk around, you'll learn.
Some of the parties, whether it's frat or not, just go insane. Like, I remember there was a St. Patrick's Day party when I was in school that, like, a fucking. Like a balcony collapsed because there was too many people on it. Everyone ended up being okay because it wasn't that high, but like, it was like one floor. But yeah, there's like a kind of like one of those things where it'll just gain steam and gain steam and gain steam, and like all of a sudden, half the school's there.
Yeah. Oh, man. What a show.
Jasmine said, can you guys get Cormani on the show? I would love to. I don't think it's really his thing.
I don't think so either. I'd love to talk to the guy, though. Just pick his brain.
For sure. We were getting kind of grilled for asking too many questions to Cam.
I saw that. I saw that. First, we don't have enough players on. Now we ask them too many questions.
And, like, you just have to go with how it's going, you know? Like,
I will say, we were obviously a little rushed that day.
Yeah.
So we kind of just walked straight. Like, we barely talked to him before, so we kind of just walked straight up here and went into
it. Well, we were already 45 minutes late for the show, and we had a show, like, 59 minutes after us.
So exactly,
But it's just, you know, sometimes the conversation is going to spill out into other things. Sometimes it's just not. So, we can't just sit here in silence.
I mean, that's kind of just who Cam is, too. He's just about business, you know? So we asked him about business. Like, what's going on, bro?
And it's not even like, I love hanging out with Cam. Like, I think I can't remember if I said this on or off air, but, like, he's always saying, like, I'm not a people person. I'm not about talking. I'm like, every time I hang out with you, I feel like you are.
Yeah. Yeah, he was great. 21 questions coming out tomorrow.
Let's go.
It's a pretty good one, too.
Arguably the best so far?
I think it was my favorite, yeah.
My favorite part is when he talked about his dream dinner party.
That was he nailed that.
It was funny.
Crushed it. And then, Alto on Friday. It'll be a great end to the week.
Let's go.
See you guys tomorrow. Let's go Buffs.
Let's go Buffs.
We all silly like the mayor.